Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He is so good. Praise the Lord. I'm stirred. I'm still stirred from last night, I think. Amen. Praise the Lord. We couldn't even get into preaching. We had to lay hands on people last night. So praise the Lord. We ended up getting into preaching, and praise the Lord for it. You know, the word is always good. The word helps us. It sets us free. The straight keeps us on the straight and narrow. Praise the Lord. Keeps us going in the right direction. I am so thankful for the word. The word is what keeps us from being squirrely. I'm so thankful I'm not squirrely no more. Praise the Lord. There was a day when I was very squirrely. I was unstable and unfit. But praise the Lord that God sent somebody to teach me the word. And when they taught me the word, it changed my life. Amen. And it'll change your life here today too. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe it. And I know you do too. Glory to God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have come back. Right? Praise the Lord. Are you looking for something? And that something is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you can find God in many places, but the best place to find him is right in the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm so excited for the word today. Today's message is called Discovering Gifts in the Body. Praise God. And what we're going to be talking about is we're going to be talking about the gifts of the body as they pertain to each individual. We're going to be looking at, the people, God's church. You know, each of us have a part to play in this body. You know, Jesus called us a body for a very specific reason, to give us the understanding that we belong to something, that we're part of something. And as we look at the human body, we know that through the study of the body, each part plays a part, amen, that there's a purpose, but not all parts are the same. And we have to know that it's important to understand that if you're a hand, that you don't look down on a foot, or you don't desire to be a foot. You desire to be the hand, because that's what God has made you. And we know that God has made us each a part of the body, and he's given us giftings to do that. And as the church learns that, as the church learns about God and how he's placed us, and we start getting effective at being used that way, that's where we realize the plan of God for our lives, amen? And that's where the church really grows in strength and comes together and does exactly what it's supposed to do, amen? And I'm just excited for it, because today, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to do this, but he also put it on my heart to have communion today. So we're going to be talking about, and that's really what communion is. Communion is discerning the body, amen? We'll talk about that some too, but so we're going to have the message, and then we'll partake of communion together, amen? And just in case you don't know, we are an open communion church. Anybody can take it, amen? Yeah, because that's what it's for, praise the Lord. So praise God. Let's get into the message. Today, we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Amen. Discerning the gifts of the body. Discerning the gifts of the body. See, a lot of people, they just don't realize that they're gifted. Some people, you know, they come in. I know I was a person like this, and I came into the church, and I didn't think there was anything worth anything in me. You know, I was just happy that God would accept me. I wasn't even thinking about giftings. I wasn't even thinking that God could actually use me for something, or that God would use me for something. But how awesome is it that God has placed things within us, that it doesn't matter what our past is. It doesn't matter what kind of background we came out of. God is the great equalizer. Amen? It doesn't matter what we did before. All that matters is what we do going forward. And aren't you glad? But here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27, glory to God. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ and members individually. We know that Christ is the head. Amen. He's the head of the body. Nobody in here is going to be the head. Glory to God. But Christ is the head. And we all are part of that body individually. You know, a pinky is very distinguishable from a forearm. Is it not? A thumb is very distinguishable from the middle toe. Right? On your right foot. It's very different, amen. And some people their toes and fingers are different from hand to hand or foot to foot. You know, so we understand that God has different purposes for different things. You know, it wouldn't be very good if a thumb tried to do the job of a brain. Yeah. It wouldn't work out, would it? Or if the thumb tried to do the job of a heart, or if an elbow tried to do the job of something else. Amen. It doesn't matter. It wouldn't be good if when things get out of order. But see, the thing is that we all also have to understand that there is importance in each of the parts. And so no matter where we are on that list, no matter what we do, God has ordained it as good. He has set the body, he set it in order. He placed the body parts as he wills. Amen. He has placed people in the body as he wills. So what God has made you to be is a wonderful thing. And so people have, they do both things. Sometimes people look at other people and they get jealous because of what they get to do or what they've done. Amen. But, you know, that's just as wrong, too, because that means that you're not focusing on what God has made you to be. It matters what God has made you to be, where he has placed you. And part of my job as a pastor is to help people find that place in the body. It's to help them find where do I connect to it. It's see, you know, I remember in every church you see this. It doesn't matter, but in every church there, you know, there's people that are very connected, and there's people that are somewhat connected. There's people, you know, there's people that we might see once a couple times a year, and there's people that you see every single service. You know what I mean? But God has intended us to come together often. He has come to intended us to come together a lot, not to be peripheral people. I was a peripheral person at one point. You say that, praise God, hallelujah. But I was that person at one time myself, where I would just, you know, I'd bebop in once in a while, and but my life was never completely, it was never helped, it was never fixed. I was running from one trial to the next, and that's because I never discerned my place in the body. See, we're all connected, and if we are connected, we need to be connected, amen? And that's what we're talking about here today. If you get jealous of a brother or sister, it is because you aren't discerning the body. You know, we talk about that word discern a lot, and there's a lot to do. You know, communion is about discerning the body of Christ. Discerning means to separate, make a distinction, or even to prefer, okay? So it means to separate, make a distinction, or prefer. It means that you look at it you put some kind of preference on it. You put some kind of importance on it, that you set it aside and say, you know what, this means something more than just a casual whatever. You know, we have casual interactions all the time, don't we? You know, if you go to Walmart, or if you go to the mall, or you go to Home Depot, or wherever you go, praise the Lord, you'll have casual interactions with people. You may see people that you'll never see again. You know, we think about this whenever we go on a trip or something somewhere, and we're in a big city, and you're around, like, thousands and thousands of people that you'll never see again, and you may have a casual interaction. You know, that's not, you don't discern them. You don't think about them. That's not, they don't generally become part of your life. But see, the body of Christ is much different. We need to discern that. We need to separate it and say, you know what? This is something that's very important, and it needs to become important to us. Amen. That's why we talk about, you know, my wife talking about, you know, the different offerings and stuff like that. You know, that's all part of discerning the body. See, we're just discerning the needs in the body, discerning our attachment to it, and we don't get sad about the idea of sowing into someone else. You know, when God put someone on our heart or whatever, he did that with us just recently. There was a church that needed some, that we just knew that needed some help, amen? And so we sowed into that as a church family. You don't maybe didn't know that we did, but we did. And we sowed into that church as a church family. Why? Because we discern the body. It's important that, you know, we're going to help people. We're going to be a church that does that, amen? And we want to be people that does that. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about, however, we want to be people that are sowing into other people. We want to be known for our generosity. Yeah, amen. That's like one of the number one things in my life. If there's anything I want to be known for, it's as a giver, not a taker. Now, that doesn't mean you can't be a receiver, because if you're a giver, you better be a receiver, because you can't give according to the word and not receive. You know, that's the wonderful thing about my wife, you know, brought up about that, the testimony about our offering. We get so excited and stirred that we are able to, you know, it's awesome to watch God bring it in. But do you know something that was really, I was thinking about this during when she was talking about it. You know something that's really interesting about that? We're so stirred, and everybody else, we heard you guys get excited too about it. But this is the greatest thing. That's not where it stops. When it comes in, that's not where it stops. Because that was just the offering. Do you know the Bible says in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men pour into your bosom." That's what the word says. So we get excited because we believe God and saw the offering come in. But when we give the offering, and God's like, "But I'm not done yet." See, there's another aspect to that. And that's the way a life of a believer should be, is when God gives us direction for something, whatever it is, that we shouldn't be upset with the direction. Sometimes the direction is against our flesh, but we need to learn to just be excited about it. Because when God gives us direction, That means there's something attached to it on the other side, that there's blessing attached to it. Like my wife said about us moving into that house, I cursed that house because I had to work on it so much. I plumbed the house twice, praise the Lord, wired it at least once. Glory to God. I had all different kinds of things I had to do. We had to replace the roof and the walls and insulation and the windows and the doors and the walls and the foundation. Is there anything I didn't cover? The front porch, the back porch, you know what I mean? There's things we didn't even get to. Oh, glory to God. When we got the house, amen, we had this nice little backyard. And I got in there and started work and found out I had twice the size of backyard that I thought I had. Why? Because I cleaned out all the garbage, you know what I mean? But we did all this, and of course, there was a lot of work on me. And so I was, you know, but see, sometimes God will put us in the place of a lot of work because there's something attached to it. My goal was to be in that house, not more. I said 5 to 10 years, and I really meant 5 or less. That's what I meant, right, when I said that. But the wonderful thing was, is it went through the process of 10 years before we were finally able to reach that precious family across the street. Really reach them. And some of the most faithful people in our church to God and their lives, we've watched their lives change all because we were following the direction of God. All because he put us in a place that maybe wasn't comfortable for a time. But look what it does. Look at the fruit of it on the other end of it. You know what I mean? And like my wife said, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't think Liz would be here today if she hadn't discovered the teaching that comes out of this pulpit. Because it's not mine, it's the Lord's. You understand? And so the point is that God is always moving us to things. And sometimes we get upset by it. We get like, kind of frustrated by it or whatever, because it's not exactly, it doesn't fit our plan. You know, when we said, hey, we're gonna start another church in Corey, according to the Lord, directed by him, you know, that didn't fit everybody's plan. But you know, the people that are getting help there, we have at least 3 faithful, precious people that are there all the time, and they're getting the help that they need. Sometimes some of them even come here. But you know, the point is that God is doing a wonderful thing there, and he's moving in their lives, and we're seeing changes that couldn't, you know, and it happens over a process of time. And yes, there's labor involved. Yes, there's waiting involved. There's patience involved, all these things. But as God leads us, see, but it all comes if we have to discern the body. We have to discern what God is doing and discern what his body is, what our place is in the body. Amen? As a church, I'm just going to tell you right now, every person in this church is connected to that Corey work, whether you do anything or not. And it's a shame if you do nothing for it. I'm just telling you. If you never have any, because God is doing that through this work. You understand that. This is part of what God has us do. This is part of discerning the body. What God has called this body to do, he has called all of us to do. I said he's called all of us to do. When we give the direction from the pulpit, that is the direction comes from heaven, and that is the direction for this body. If people don't connect to that, that's not God's fault, that's their fault, and it's because they chose not to. Listen, everybody can connect on some level. Everybody can use faith on some level for anything. They could use faith to be part of something on some level. There's something that you got. You always have something that you can give to it. And I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about something that you can give of yourself, whether it's your time, whether it's of your help. You know, we have people from this church that go down there every single week and work. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where's Tammy at? Right there, Tammy. Precious sister in the faith. Glory to God. Every week do you clean that church? Yeah, praise the Lord. We didn't even ask her. She discerned the parts of the body. She knew that it was something that needed to be done. She didn't wait for somebody to ask her. She didn't wait to be told. No, she said, I want to be part of this because it's what God's doing. Now, maybe she isn't in the place today where she can pay off that church building. I guarantee you if she was, she would. But what did she do? She gave what she could. She brought what she could because she discerns the body. Glory to God. And she didn't ask me, you know, she's never asked for any kind of recognition of it. You know, and she goes in there and does it. When we go in there, it's clean, it's excellent. So much so that we don't even have to think about it. That's a blessing. Glory to God. And I'm sure there's other people that help sometimes too, right? Yeah, your group there. Yeah, you got a couple. Yeah. Her daughter and her mom, praise the Lord. You know, but the point is that, you know, that's just, you know, it's like I told the story of that guy that cleans Reverend Greer's pulpit. It blessed me so much to be there before the service. And it just, he knew because the word was going to proceed from the pulpit, from that place. He's like, I don't want a spot on that. He took it under his own. And he said, I'm going to make this. This is my thing. I'm going to make this. This is my part of it. And he does many other things as well. But the point is that there was something he picked out and he said, you know what? I'm going to make this good because I care. That's discerning the body. Amen. These are the gifts of the body. There's things, you know, we have other people. We have other people who have reached out at different times to do different things. Praise the Lord. I could just go down the list and just name people. Glory to God. Carrie back there. She just came to us and said, you know, I take pictures. And she's a wonderful, incredible photographer, by the way. But she's like, you know, I'd like to just offer some help, you know, if you guys need pictures. And we did at the time too. And so she took some beautiful pictures for us and didn't charge the church for it, just did it for us and then edited them, did all that stuff. But see, that's discerning the body. She took a gift that she has and she says, I'm going to use this for God. Amen. You know, there's so many singers out there in the world. We see famous singers all the time. Sometimes a lot of them, you'll see they started in churches. That gift is not meant for the masses of people. That gift is not meant for some stadium. That gift is meant for the local church. Now, I'm not saying that all of them are wrong for using it that way or whatever, but I'm saying that the highest desire in all of us should be for the local church. What can we do? Because the local church is where it all starts. It's where God goes out into the world and changes it. The local church is the body of believers that congregate together. You understand that? That's what we're talking about. And so, what we have is we have a body that is so often, and glory to God, I haven't even gotten into anything here, but we have a body that is so often, they'll come to church because that's church to them, but then the rest of the week is just spent on whatever they want to do. They never think about the house of God. They never think about what the Lord's doing. They don't think about what the work is going on. They just go do their, each runs to their own thing. And that's where the problem is, because God has intended the local church to come together. We come together here to start. This is the start. This Sunday morning meeting is to start for the week. Hallelujah. Then we go out there and we are to live it. Just because I'm a pastor, we live it where we're at. Praise the Lord. I didn't even realize, you know, back in the day I worked in the factory and I started coming to family church and I loved the fact that I was getting the word and I was just happy to serve and do whatever I could do. Excuse me. And I would take notes every Sunday and I would take those notes and I would go to I'd go to work every week just like y'all do. Praise the Lord. But I went to work in this factory and I'd get there and my first break I'd pull out the notes and I'd start going over the notes. You know why? Because the things that God's teaching and through the pulpit, the things that he's bringing you through the pulpit, these are the things you need to study. These are the things you need to know. That's why a lot of people, sometimes, you know, people will come to me and they'll be like, you know, I don't know where to start in the word. You start with what was taught on Sunday. Because that's God's direction for the local body. Discerning the body. And discerning the importance of the body. What is God doing? He starts right here. Amen. And so I would do that, and I would read over and over, and I would study these things, and these things got put into me over and over and over again. I started understanding the word. I started understanding how to read. I started understanding what God meant when he said this or that, and I started making the connections, hallelujah, and I started growing in faith. And as I started growing in faith, I started talking to people about my faith, and I would be there at work. I'd be at a break, and I'd be sitting with somebody, and I'd be like, and we'd start talking about it, and they'd see my excitement for God, you know, and I remember at one point, a good friend of mine that I worked with said, he's like, oh man, you should go be a preacher. I said, oh, I'm not called to that. Praise the Lord. I was like, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm just here to serve. I'm just here to do good things, you know, do what the Lord needs me to do to help my pastor, praise the Lord. And that was what I wanted to do. And so that's what I did. But people started recognizing the gift in me. They started recognizing something coming out of me. And that was all birthed because I got into the word. And I wasn't perfect at it. I mean, I may have spent, there was times where I spent, you know, I was talking to somebody last night. They're saying, like, I struggle so much getting into the word. I know I need to get in more. And I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me once, and it was in that time period. The Lord spoke to me and said, if you read one scripture a day, it's better than reading nothing. But I guarantee you get in there, read one scripture, you don't want to just read one. Then you'll read two or three or four. You know what I mean? But you just got to take a few seconds to do it. Shoot, you spent a half hour on Facebook first thing in the morning. You spend a half hour on Instagram or whatever you do. You spend an hour watching YouTube or TV at night. You could spend a few minutes reading the Word. There ain't no excuse. There is no excuse. Praise the Lord. Discerning the body. See, what happens is people, oftentimes, they come into church just to get what they need, and they don't realize that God is trying to connect them to something to give everybody what they need. See, because we all bring our supply. Glory to God. I have a feeling, I'm not getting very far very fast, but God needs us to bring our supply. He needs us to bring what we have. Amen? You know, it's those brothers or sisters that reach out to other people. You know what I mean? We got an example here. I'm not going to use names on this one just because I don't want to, but there was a man who came here. Praise the Lord. He's been here several times. And the reason that he kept coming back, the reason he came back was just because of someone else. Because he connected with that person. And, you know, that means a lot. So he would come, sit, and hear the word because he connected to somebody else. Don't underestimate the importance of reaching out to another person and saying something about them, encouraging them in the Lord. That's what we do. We're all part of the body. Listen, don't get mad if somebody says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Where have you been? Don't get mad at that. They're concerned about you. If I say, and I rarely say that to people, but if I say I haven't seen you in a while, it's not because I don't love you. You know what I mean? We tell our kids all the time, we don't correct you because we hate you. We correct you because we love you. We're trying to help you. We know that if you don't get this corrected, it's going to cause hurt in your life. So we're not trying to step on your toes. We're trying to help people, discerning the body. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. All that came out of the word discernment. Hallelujah. So you're in 1 Corinthians 12. Go back to verse 12. Hallelujah. God wants to do something. Now, here's the thing. And we're not going to go to these scriptures today, but if we look at the book of Acts, the book of Acts shows us where the power of God really was happening in the early church. This is where the average people, you and I, were going out into the world. They were prophesying. They were going out. They were speaking as oracles of God. They were going out there and they were healing people. They were laying hands on the sick in the streets and they were getting healed. And there was amazing moves and miracles happening. There was people that were raised from the dead in that time period. There was people who had demons cast out of them, all this stuff. And we would say, well, where is that? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Those people were in complete unity. Those people, the Bible says that they came together. They were in one place with one accord, always. That if they would bring what they had. That was one of the early earmarks of Christianity, that people would bring what they had and said, use it wherever is needed. Now you got to like twist people's arm just to give them a little offering because you want to do something better. Do you know, I've said 1,000 times, you know how much this building speaks to people. But you know how many times, weekly, I have people coming up to me. My gosh, what's going on there? What's happening? They see it happening. See, you need to learn to walk in faith because you need to look better. Yeah, because people aren't going to come if you don't look better. Those people you reach, if they don't see any change in their life, they're not going to. Why would I need to go there? But what draws them in is when they see the change in your life, when they see you. You know what? You're feeling better than you used to. What happened? You're happier than you used to be. What happened? You drive a nicer car than you used to. What happened? Well, glory to God. God cares about all that stuff. Praise the Lord. You know, one time I was... it was my pastor, actually. I've always followed my pastor closely because I learned early on to do so. And the reason I learned early on to do so is because I watched God bless him. I watched what he did. I watched him back up what he said with his actions. And then I watched God bless him. And that's what drew me into the faith. I'm just telling you the truth. And I remember when he got his first nice truck. I remember he asked me, it was before Wednesday service, if I would ride with him down if I'd drive him down there so he could pick it up, and then he could drive it away because they had just finished doing some stuff to it. And I said, yeah, I would love to. And I pulled in, and man, I saw this truck, and it was just so nice. It wasn't anything fancy, but at the time, I mean, I was driving a Beater, and that's all that I knew, and I was just looking at it. I was like, wow, this is really nice, you know. And I was happy for him. I was excited for him. Do you get happy and excited when someone around you gets blessed? Well, you should. Praise the Lord, you should. But at any rate, that's free, no charge. So at any rate, as I was driving away, the Lord spoke to me very clearly as I heard I was called to pastor. Praise the Lord. But he spoke to me very clearly. He said, it's good that my people drive nice vehicles. Why? Because it speaks about the Father. It is not. Now listen, I am not saying to sit around coveting vehicles and sit around just thinking about how you can get the next vehicle. You discern the body, you follow the plan of God for your life, and you can't help but drive a nice vehicle. You won't help but have a nice house, because that's what God does. Why? Because the Bible promises blessing to those who are blessing. It promises increase to those who increase. You know, those who increase, well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm just trying to help you here. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not even going to go there. Glory to God. I just purpose to do what God has me to do. Amen. And say the things He has me for me to say. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. See, we see this over and over again, okay? It's many members, right? And the members are all different. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I just lost my place. Yeah, here we go, verse 15. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. This is a problem you can actually find in the church today. I mean, the church as a whole, is that people are trying to do the job that they're not called to do. This is where people who think that anybody can be a pastor are sadly mistaken. God picks who are pastors and who aren't. God picks who are apostles and who aren't. God picks who are prophets and who aren't. You can't go learn to be a prophet. I said you can't go learn to be a prophet. You aren't going to find that in Scripture. God has set the members as He chose. But furthermore, God has decided when we choose in this church to appoint someone. I wasn't even going to do a youth group. You know that? I wanted nothing. I hated youth groups. I'm just going to be honest with you. When we started this church, I hated youth groups. So why would you hate youth groups? Because youth groups are generally nothing but trouble. There's nothing but problems, generally in youth groups. And so it's got to be by the direction of the Lord. But guess what? God directed me to have a youth group. Glory to God. We knew God was intervening. And so we started having a youth group. And God also directed me who were to be the leaders. Praise the Lord. Now, some people may not have liked who I picked as leaders, but it doesn't matter because I didn't pick them. God did. I didn't just say, hey, Josh and Rachel, you guys should be the leaders of the church. No, the Lord showed me who was. Praise the Lord. You know, we put people in different positions. We literally seek the Lord. Lord, who would you want here? Or where can we use this person? We don't just put you anywhere because this is one of the biggest problems with worship teams. Glory to God. Because somebody comes in and says, well, I'm a really good musician. I should be used up there. No, you shouldn't. You get used when you get proven. Yeah. Right? Amen. Just because you're talented doesn't mean anything to God. God doesn't care about talent. He cares about willingness. He cares about people who are willing. He cares about people who are faithful. That's another thing. I'll just speak about that. If you're called to do something, be faithful. There's nothing worse than when somebody doesn't show up to their post because they weren't faithful. Because they just didn't show up. Because they got distracted because something else was going on. Because whatever. If you don't show up, if you're scheduled, did you need to find somebody to replace you? Praise the Lord. What would happen to your job if you did that? You're working for the Lord when you're working for the church. Do you understand that? When you do something for God, see, people don't discern the body. They think, well, the church is just a side project. No, if you come in, well, I don't care what your job is, you do it the best of your ability. Amen? That's why I give myself wholly as much as I can, as much as I possibly can. I give myself to ministering the Word of God. I do exactly what I've gotten in the Word and studied what a pastor is. So I know what to be, what it needs to look like. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, there is nothing worse in the local church than when you have people, and there's sometimes people in this church, I'll just say that, but there's nothing worse when you have people that don't take that what they do seriously. You see, when you're working for God, it's totally different because your entire blessing, you see, you think your job is out here or you think this is out here, but see, as much as you're distracted about that, you'll never walk in the blessing of God because God wants to help you, but it starts from when you serve Him. Praise the Lord. Some people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth, and I don't care. Because you know what? I know this. The reason that we are blessed is because of the way we serve. And I'm not gonna apologize for it. I'm not gonna back down and say I didn't, because I know I served good. I know I served my pastor good, because I still do. I still do. My pastor can call me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and ask me for anything, and I'll do anything he asks me to do. You understand, of course, I'm not going to do something that's not scriptural. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do something wrong, but my pastor would never do that. But my point is that that's why we got promoted. We didn't start this last week. We started this years ago, and everybody needs to look at it that way. They need to look, not just the pastor. I'm not saying, oh, you got to come serve me. I'm not trying to be some, you know, that's not what we're trying to do. And if that's the way you look at it, well, you know, glory to God. Go to a dead church and don't get told anything you need to hear. You know what I mean? I mean, we're a church that's living. You know why there's miracles in this church? Because we follow the Word of God. You know why people get healed? Because we teach the Word of God. You know why people get healed and things, people's lives get changed? Because we don't pussyfoot around and get scared at everybody, get scared of the faces and sit there and say, oh, God forbid, you know what? Praise the Lord. I don't care if they change the tax code. I don't care if they change this or that. I'm still doing the Word of God. And if you don't, you're a fool. You don't do the Word of God based on what you think you can do. You do the Word of God based on what He said to do. That's discerning the body. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. I said, that's discerning the body. We need to discern our part. We need to say, you know what? I'm part of something. Be happy that you're part of something. You know what just ticks me off? You can drive by the Moose Club, drive by the VFW, you can drive by all these places that do nothing but spew alcohol and serve trash. I'm not saying the people are trash. I'm saying they're serving garbage to people. They're causing death in people's lives. And you look at, they have the nicest buildings. They have the nicest parking lots. Well, why can't the church? The church should. I said the church should. We have no problem when you know, you put up a stadium that's $50 million. You have no problem, or a couple $1 billion, as some of them have been. They have no problem when they put up, you know, the Indians throw up a casino. They have no problem when they throw up a casino and put a $6 million display on the side of the building. Nobody complains about that, but God forbid you do something at the church and everybody's like, well, I don't know if I can do it. Well, here's $5, here's $10. No, let's get it done. Let's do the work of God and show the world what really matters, because what really matters isn't the stinking casino that only robs from people. I said it only robs from people. Ain't anybody walked out of a casino blessed? No, there isn't anybody who walks out of a casino blessed. There's nobody who walks out, you know, but that's the thing, you know. See, people are looking around, they're like, the house of God, that's what matters. The work of the Lord, that's what matters. Getting the job done, that's what matters. You know why we give to other churches? Because we care about people in other towns. We don't just care about people in Mayville. Praise the Lord. But we can't do that unless people hook up and say, you know what? I'm going to make sure this happens. Glory to God. You know, when there's a need in the body of Christ, everybody in the local church should say, what can I do to help this need? Without fail, what can I do to help this need? That's what we need. That's the way we need to look at it. And I'm not yelling at you because you don't. Praise the Lord. We got some good people here. You know, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying we need to be stirred about it. We need to be excited about it. Because just like that offering that we were saying that we were raising money for, I'm going to tell you right now, God wants to bless you on the other side. So you get excited about opportunity. Praise the Lord. God, Paul said, he's like, not that I, when he was talking about somebody who had given him an offering. What's that? Oh, praise the Lord. When Paul was saying that, you know, when he was talking about somebody giving him an offering, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the blessing that abounds to your account. We're not trying to build some kind of ministry here so we can have some kind of big TV ministry or so people look at us like we're famous. Hey, if you know me, you know this, that I don't even, I was telling the ushers last night, you know, most of the time I don't even want to show, I don't even want to like greet people. I'm just telling you the truth. When new people come in, we're out there in Corey, new people come in, the first inclination in me, in fact, I always see myself doing this, is turning, going back into the back room and hiding. Yeah. I don't want to greet new people. Why? Because I've never in my flesh, I've never been comfortable around people. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, I love on you because I'm a pastor. And that's what I'm called to do. Amen. So I contend with the flesh just to love on you. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we got to do what we're called to do. Amen. And we got to step out sometimes when it's not comfortable. It's not always comfortable to tell people, you know, to sit with people and hear about stuff and, you know, all this thing. It's not always comfortable to hear what's going on or whatever. Sometimes it's not comfortable just to look at people. You know what I'm saying? You've all had people you didn't want to look at. I like looking at you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and everybody else, oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Where were we? And we were 18, praise the Lord. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You know what this scripture is saying here? It says it needs you. It needs you. We need you. Your neighbor, look at your neighbor. Everybody look at your neighbor, left or right, I don't care. Now look at the neighbor on the other side. You left or right, I don't care. See that person there? That person smiling at you? They need you. They need you. You are needed. You are needed. You know, we had this dear, sweet woman in Corey telling us, she was talking about how she didn't have any family anymore. I'm like, well, praise God, now you do. Praise God, now you do. See, that's what family church means. It doesn't mean we're going to go build some freaky commune somewhere and we all got to move in. And that's not what family church is talking about. I'm not saying that we're going to have family church, you know, the family church plot up there on the hill, you know what I mean? And pretty soon the government's going to become crashing in and stuff like that. Now, that's not what family church means. It means that we love each other like a family, that we understand. You know, this is why I love like things like Soup Sunday, above and beyond the soup. That's pretty good. I still think, Jennifer, the reason I turned around and looked at you is because I still think of that chicken orzo soup you made. Is that what it was? Man, that was good. I ate it for several days afterwards because she sent some home with me. Praise the Lord for it. Glory to God. But, you know, it's about coming to those times of fellowship, coming together and being a family. And it's like Thanksgiving, you know what I mean? Isn't it always good to be with family? Amen. But we have a part to play. Amen. We have things to do. We have things to accomplish. God has a plan for this church and every other church, and we need to be part of it. Amen. We need to say, hey, what is my part? We need to discover. You don't need me to tell you what to do. What you need me to do is direct you on how to help find your part. Find your place in there. I'm not telling you what it is. I'm saying that we need to find out what it is. But you can't find out if you don't even desire it. See, that's the thing, the move of God, we talk about amazing, but God wants to do, he wouldn't have spoken that to my spirit unless he wanted to do something amazing. Right. When God says it's amazing, it's really amazing. You know, we think that the little things of God are amazing, but when God says something amazing, that's huge. God said amazing miracles in Mayville. That's only going to happen from people who connect to the word, that connect to what's going on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Right? Much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, of these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. He's just talking about the body, right? But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which it lacked it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Amen. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If people would realize this. You know, people get ticked about their own way. They want things their own way sometimes. This happens sometimes, right? Happens in anybody. But sometimes there'll be people that will go out there and they'll voice that out in the public. And you know what you do? You make the entire body suffer. Because what you got ticked off about one day and you had to run your mouth about will cause somebody else from not coming in. It will keep, because once you get over it, once you get happy again. My wife and I learned this, praise the Lord. We learned this early on. You know, my wife was raised with mostly sisters. Praise the Lord for sisters. But you know what? You know what a bunch of sisters do? They like to talk. I'm just telling you the truth. It's just the way it is. But they like to talk, and you see it often. Sisters like to talk. And one thing that sisters like to talk sometimes about, I'm just talking about sisters. One of the things they like to talk about is husbands. Amen? My wife has never said one bad thing about me to her family. Never. Not one bad thing. She has never said one cross thing about me to her family. She has never called. Well, listen, if there's anybody who has tested my wife's love walk, he is standing before you today. I have tested my wife and tested my wife and tested my wife, but she has never spoken a word against me to anybody else. Why? Because she understands She may forgive me, but they won't. And not because they're bad, because that's the way human nature works. When you talk trash about somebody else, guess what? They're gonna, if they're on your side, don't you know that's what's going on in today's society? Somebody says something bad about somebody and everybody else got to believe them. Whether it's true or not, we don't even care. We're not going to look at it, whether it's true or not. See, that's the same thing. I'm going to tell you what, I get fired up about things because there's been things that's been said about me over the years that weren't true. I carried shame and think guilt around that it wasn't even mine to carry because people wanted to run their mouths and say things that they didn't know about. But people, other people believed them just because someone said it. Just because someone else said it, they're going to believe it. Well, I'm just telling you the truth right here. So I kind of take an aggressive approach towards these things. And I say, well, let's look at the facts first. Let's look at actual facts and not just things people run their mouths about. Because a lot of people out there, if you haven't learned that now, there's a lot of people out there running their mouths that don't know a whole lot. I'll give you an example. I remember back in the day, praise the Lord, this is good. I remember back in the day, I was on Facebook, and I had a whole bunch of friends. And I remember somebody got on there because somebody got mad at my church. And somebody got on there and started running their mouth about the church. And then somebody else got on there and started, somebody else that was a friend of mine started running their mouth about the church, all on social media, right? And I'm looking at the stuff and I'm like, what they're saying, I know what they're saying is completely untrue. How do I know? Well, first of all, I worked at the church at that time and I was close with the pastor, so I knew that the things that were being said were completely and utterly untrue. But everybody who was reading that garbage was believing it. Why? Because we're friends with so-and-so bucket mouth. We're friends with somebody who's out there just saying whatever they want to say. Yeah, that's exactly what was happening. I said, that's exactly what was happening. And so I got on there because I couldn't handle it anymore. And I said to this person, I was like, you know something? You have a lot to say about this church, but I have never seen you one time step foot into that church. We still have people that talk bad about this church and the things that we teach have never sat in these seats, have no idea what we've talked about. They've never asked us what we believe. I've had people come in, get mad, and leave and never ask me once what we actually believe. Because they hear something, they take it the way they want to take it, and they hear, I'm going to tell you right now, I will say things sometimes that may not sound completely perfect, and maybe it's save you the benefit of the doubt. I'll say that it was my fault. Sometimes when you publicly speak, sometimes you misspeak or say something just a little bit, could have worded it better. I've heard of people saying, so like, this is what we teach. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what we teach at all. I must have said it wrong or something like that. You understand? So sometimes that can happen, but I'm talking about people saying stuff that completely isn't even true. Yeah. But people will believe it just because it's out there on social media. Listen, we got to be careful of these things. Our country is collapsing right now because people are up in arms about things they don't know nothing about. They don't know anything about. They say this and that. I'm gonna take one of the most popular ones just because it's another religion I can run on it. Amen. President Trump, when he was running for president, he made a mention about banning Muslims. And because of that statement, everybody says this man is racist. Although they have no idea what they're talking about because they don't even know what Muslims are. The Islamic religion is pure evil. It's pure evil. But if you speak against it now, do you realize that all the liberals that love to be on everybody's side but a Christian's, you know, they sit there and talk about how bad Christians are because of the way we think. Do you know the Muslims think the same way in a lot of things that they do? But they do take action against people that is awful. You know, we may speak against homosexuality, saying it's not of God, it's not right, and you need to repent and change. But Muslims take it a step further, or Islam takes it a step further, and they'll kill them. I said they'll kill them. Yeah, absolutely. They have taken the things that are understood from the Middle Eastern culture with women, and they abuse women. They use it to abuse women. And yet these people are lauded as I don't care what your politics are. We are talking about religion. We are talking about evil. We are talking about things that Christians don't even know that. Right. They don't even know that Islam is a pure evil religion based and solely founded by Satan himself to attack God's people. People are against the Jews. Do you realize that they are God's people? Now we are God's people too. But they still have rights. They still have promises. They're still the ones that God loved. And in the end times, the Bible tells us that he will bring them back. Yes. Yeah, do you realize that? It is through the Jews that you got Jesus. Yes. You better be careful when you're bashing a Jew. I'm just telling you the truth. Because God has a promise back in Genesis. He said, anybody who curses my people will be cursed, and anyone who blesses them will be blessed. Watch what you say. Watch what you say about God's anointed. You better know when you're saying, well, I don't agree with what they said, and this and that, and you start getting your gaggle together, and you start complaining about what was preached. You better make sure that it wasn't the word of the Lord, because if it was, curse is coming on your life. That is why so many people are in so much trouble, because they're going around bashing. They're bashing this minister and bashing that minister with having no idea what they even say. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Look in the Old Testament what happened when you bashed the minister. I'm just telling you. The Bible tells us the earth opened up and swallowed people. People got leprosy because they bashed the minister. Some people got mad because they were just talking. Two people were talking in the back room. Who was that? Aaron and Miriam. Yeah. Talking bad in the back room about God's leader. Well, why would God have us doing this? I can't believe that. We should just blah, blah. You be careful. I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. Well, we need to get the end of this. Praise the Lord. And if one member suffers, then the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Praise the Lord. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We read that, right? Okay, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. See, we preach the truth. Not everybody likes the truth, but we preach the truth. It's the truth according to the Word. You can trace, you know, the Islamic religion, you can trace it back unto, ever heard of Abraham? You can trace it back to Abraham. And it was God, when God gave a promise to Abraham that him and Sarah would conceive a child, and that child would be born, and God was promising it according to the child that was to be born between Abraham and Sarah, right? Now, Sarah and Abraham made up a plan because they were old, and they were thinking, we got to get this. We got to help God do his work. We got to get this thing going. So Sarah has this, basically this servant that was named Hagar. And she says to Abraham, well, I can't have a baby, even though God said that it would come through me. Said, why don't you take my maidservant and make a baby with her? And so they did, right? Abraham being the good husband that he was. Praise the Lord. That was a joke if you didn't get it. But so Abraham lies with Hagar, and they have a baby. That baby's name is Ishmael, and Ishmael is the founder of Islam. That's where it comes from. Praise the Lord. Just in case you didn't know. God rebuked Abraham and Sarah for it. He said, this is not the child of promise. I will not receive this one. The one that I'm sending will be. Amen? And that is why, because Islam, the Muslims, that's why they hate the Jews. Right there. Goes right back to that. They're fighting over the same piece of ground, which was the ground that Abraham was... was promised. Well, all that stuff happened over there. Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. What did I say? First Thessalonians 5:12. First Thessalonians 5:12. Glory to God. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them what? Very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Esteem those who very highly who labor among you. Now, of course, this does apply to the ministry offices, but it also applies to more than that. I love it. It says here, and this is why I brought in, to recognize those who labor among you. Recognize those who labor among you and esteem them highly. See, the people who are doing the, but this is, he's not talking about working out there in the fields. He's not talking about working at the gas station or in the factory or something like that. That's not what it's talking about. Although we should, be excited for people who work hard. I'm not saying that. But this is talking about people who labor in the doctrine, in the word, that labor in the local house. Amen. You know, there's people who serve more than they should because other people have never stepped up to help. I've seen it over and over and over again. Amen? I've seen it so many times just because people won't take the time to do what they were supposed to do. They won't get it done. Amen? It matters. If you say you're going to do something, you better do it. It matters that you do it. Why? Because people are counting on you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we see here that there's, again, we need to recognize those. We need to recognize the gifts in each other. We need to not get jealous when we see a brother or sister being promoted, because we understand that that's God using them, that God's giving them an opportunity, and God's going to give us all opportunities separately. Has a pastor ever come to you and asked you for something? That's God giving you an opportunity for something. Not because I'm God, because the Lord has placed it on my heart. Praise the Lord. This has happened many times. How faithful are you to do that? Well, I don't like doing that thing. Well, I understand that. There's lots of things I don't like doing. Is there anybody who likes cleaning a toilet? But you better clean toilets. Somebody better clean the toilet. Because toilets don't get clean, I'm going to tell you right now, get really nasty really quick. It doesn't matter if they flush. I'm just telling you the truth. It matters. It doesn't matter if you like what you're doing. If you're called to do something, do it. Because your gifting and your ability will be determined in that place. Amen? Praise the Lord. Recognize those. You know, we should have respect for those people that are doing things, that are vacuuming the church floor. I don't know if anyone in here is like this now, but I'm just going to tell you right now. There's been people who come. I've gotten reports before of people finding shredded up paper on the floor, people finding fingernails that are bitten off or clipped off or whatever, all over the floor in the church. Like, what? Like, seriously, where do you live, in a barn? I mean, come on. You don't just throw garbage on the floor. Who does that kind of thing? And if you put garbage on the floor, well, stink it, pick it up. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you make a mess, clean it up. That's what we teach our kids to do. It's basic principles of living. Yes. Amen? We got to live like this. We don't want the house of the Lord to look like, oh, somebody else will clean that up. So I just, you know. Well, praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. We need to discern the body. Yeah. We better discern it quickly, because we're getting close to the end here. Ephesians 4:16 says, survey says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Yeah. Its share. My wife has said this, you know, she said this before, and I just love it. What would happen if you had a grown person living in your house? A grown person living in your home, and they supplied nothing for the home. How would you feel about that? It'd grow old really quick, wouldn't it? There is nothing worse than a grown person living in the house doing nothing. Not contributing financially, not doing anything. That's the way the church looks. There are grown people sitting in the church that don't contribute. They don't care about, okay, here's another offering. You have no idea. What are you here for then? If you're so mad because there's offerings, we want to do things to help the church, help the body of Christ to grow the church. What do you care? Like, if you have such a problem with it, why you come back? I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. I don't hate you. But I mean, if you have such a problem, if you think that all we're after is money, what? You know, the door works both ways. And you have a choice. The last time I said, there's nobody that forced you to be here. When we talk about this thing that we're going to do or that thing we're going to do, you know, like, seriously. Well, who would you get mad? Don't get mad. Get glad. Just everybody needs to do their share. You need to be a joint that supplies. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something else. You need to use your faith. You need to use your faith in your own life. I get mad at people. Oh, one of the greatest things that will make me angry is people who won't use their faith. And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't use your faith, you will never increase. And if you never increase, then you can never be your supply. Because you come in, like, listen, now we've had people say to us, and we said the same thing to our pastor when we first came in. We can't even pay our bills. How are we supposed to tithe? See, that's the point of all of this, the teaching all of this. Why do we say this? I remember sitting before my pastor. I said, Pastor, I'm like, you know, we want to do right. We want to do what's good, but we can't afford to. And he said to me in that same conversation, he said, Jeff, I just had my gas turned off. I took a cold shower to come here today because I had my gas turned off. That's where he was. And I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you where he was at. I'm telling you the conversation that we had, so you can understand. I'm not just making it up. You know what I mean? But his point is this, and this is what my point is to you today, is if you don't use your faith to increase in your life, then you will never be somebody who can supply. Is there anybody here who has nothing? And I don't want you to raise your hands, but I want you to think about it. If you had, maybe you have nothing. You have not a dime extra in your paycheck. But if you had millions of dollars and somebody come up to you in need, would you give it to them? Is there anybody who, just think about it. You know, you don't even have to answer it. Yeah. That's exactly what God wants. He wants us to increase. We can't increase any other way by faith. See, because you can't be a true supply, an effective supply, unless you increase in your own life. I am not talking about coming into the church and filling it with riches. I'm talking about increase in your own life. Did you hear me? I said you need to increase. You need to get to the place where you don't have to work 15 jobs just to make ends meet. Why? Because how are you going to serve in the local house if you can't even come to church because you're working all the time? You need to learn how to increase. You need faith to get in you. And you don't want to do that either. You need vacations. Have you ever had a vacation? I know that there's people in here that probably never had a vacation. It's a godly thing to have a vacation, and you need to have it. And I'm going to go one step further. You should have it more than once a year. I'm not saying you need to go away to Aruba twice a year or anything like that. But I'm just saying that you need to have time where you get away. You need to have time where you're refreshed. If you don't, then you're, something's not happening because God. That's what God wants for you. Why? Because if you're not refreshed, how are you going to serve God? Do you know Jesus told his disciples, I'm preaching real good here right now. I don't know if you knew that or not. Do you know Jesus told his disciples, he said, let's get away. You've been going to and fro. You've been doing all this. Let's get away for a time and get quiet and get relaxed. You know Jesus said that. You know what Jesus said? He said, let's go on vacation. Let's go on holiday. Praise the Lord. I remember back when I worked in the factory, they offered us a lot of money to work holidays that we got paid for. We got paid holidays. I thought, shoot, somebody going to pay me to stay home? I'm staying home. But we had people, and they're so greedy. They're like, oh, I'm going to work all these because we would get like a week. And they'd say it's a paid holiday at Christmas time. They would pay you. If you came in on a paid holiday, you got paid what they call triple time. Three times your wage. People thought I was nuts because I said, if they're paying me to stay home, I'm staying home. I mean, I'll stay home sometimes. They ain't even paying me. I'm just saying. But I'm definitely, they paying me, I'm staying home. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how much you, listen, because I would much rather be at home than I would be here. I don't care how much money you're offering me. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Christians need to get to the point where they can go away. You need, God wants that for you. I need that for you. The body of Christ needs that for you. Why? Well, because if this church was filled with, I'm just going to tell you, I'm not saying we're all going to be millionaires, but if this church was full of millionaires, I can tell you what right now, it wouldn't be hard to raise 20 grand, would it? Praise the Lord. Wouldn't be hard to raise money to start another church, would it? Another church that we're aware of that's dealing with something, we could go pay off that church building for them. That'd be nice if... Praise the Lord. Where it starts with faithfulness at the beginning. You need to build your faith, and that's why we teach faith. But see, people are afraid of faith because they're afraid to step out. But see, when you're afraid of faith, you're afraid to step out. Guess where you stay? Where you've always been. That's why it never changes, because you stay where you've always been. If you do what you always did, or if you think the way you always thought, you're always going to have what you always got. It's just the way that it is. If you don't change something, it ain't going to change. God's waiting for you to change it. Praise the Lord. And we need to connect to it in order to change it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I didn't get near as far as I thought I wanted to. But we can understand something. Edifying itself in love. Edify. Did I even finish that scripture? According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The word edify means to build. Act one who promotes another's growth. That's what the church is to do. Do you realize that? You are here to promote each other's growth. You are here to promote the growth of the body. Look around you. Seriously, like, think about this. When you come in and you greet, you are here. When you show up to church, you are here to promote that person who's greeting you. You're here to promote their growth in life, growth in everything, every area. Make you happier. You see someone coming in, you should take it. You should take these things as just as much as an insult as I do. Why? Because if the body ain't growing, the body's dying. We don't want a dead body. We want a growing body. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what God has placed us all here for. Let's come contending for the faith. Let's say, listen, I don't got it all yet. I don't get it all yet. It doesn't matter if you get it or got it. What matters is that you're after it. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's just get after it. Let's say, you know what? I want better things. I don't want my... 1 year from now, if you're here and you've been here for a year and you look the same as you did last year, something's wrong, and it isn't on my part and it isn't God's part. Why do I know it's not on my part? Because I've got plenty of people who progress. And so I know that I'm preaching the word right. I know that something's coming out of me that somebody's getting. Praise the Lord. And if somebody can get it, you can get it. Because I'm going to tell you, if I got it, you can get it. Because I'm an idiot. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, don't you call me an idiot, but I'm an idiot. Praise the Lord, in my own opinion, in my own estimation. But I praise God for what he's done, because I'm talking about on my own. Now, in the Lord, glory to God, I've realized things about myself in the Lord that glory, hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't walk small. I'm not going to walk small. I'm short in stature, but I ain't going to walk small. Praise the Lord. Because my God's a big God. He lives on the inside of me. And you shouldn't either. And you should look around. When you see a brother or sister who's failing or flailing or having a hard time, it's your job to edify them. It's your job to build them up. Why? Because that's what we do as a church. We build each other up. We edify ourselves, and this is discerning the body. This is what communion was all about. Amen?